this summer, in a podcast episode, I used what I thought was sound logic to claim that Puka Nacua and Davante Adams were overvalued. And the reason was the guy throwing to them was Matthew Stafford. Stafford's ADP at the time was QB22. He was the 22nd ranked quarterback based on average draft position. When I recorded that, I think it was in early August. So one of two things had to happen. Either Stafford, and I talked about this in the podcast, either Stafford had to have basically a career year at age 37, and to help elevate Nacua and Adams, or for Nacua and Adams to help elevate Stafford. Or what I thought was more realistic, that Stafford was no longer the great quarterback that he once was. He was merely solid, and that he was throwing less and less each season, and that realistically he could not feed two top 12 fantasy wide receivers. It made no sense. So the flawed logic was I didn't really think Stafford could be great. I ignored the fact that Peyton Manning at age, I think it was 37, roughly, came back from serious injury and had a career year for Denver. I forgot conveniently about Tom Brady going to the Bucks and having pretty much a career year or a second best season of his career at age, I don't know, 39, 40, whatever he was at that point, that it's possible for quarterbacks to have those great seasons in their late 30s or even at 40. It's unusual, but it's possible. And at what point do we downplay the upside of receivers playing with a seemingly faded quarterback? And at what point do we elevate the quarterback for playing with two great receivers? There's other examples of this, even this preseason. I want to talk about it for a couple minutes. I did a podcast, a couple podcast episodes about the Chargers and the messed up average draft positions. Ladd McConkey was, I think, the 11th ranked wide receiver, but throughout the summer, and I did again a couple episodes on this, no other Charger wide receiver was ranked inside the top 50, and yet Herbert was viewed as a must draft quarterback. I think he was like the QB12 at the time, or QB11, something like that. So if people are drafting Herbert, but only one wide receiver is going to be reliable, that doesn't really add up. Either Herbert is overvalued, or at least one of those wide receivers is undervalued. And that's turned out to be the case. There's been a slowdown now among Quentin Johnston and Keenan Allen, as Trey Harris has gotten a little more involved, but mostly Ladd McConkey taking over as the true number one, something I didn't expect to happen, candidly. But it still stands to reason that this team is much better fantasy-wise than the average draft positions suggested. Bo Nix, who was the preseason QB8, granted he does some of the work with his legs, but he was expected to be able to be a weekly fantasy starter. That was kind of the expectation. And yet, only Courtland Sutton was ranked inside the top 50 among average draft position for wide receivers on that team. Sutton, I think, was the he was the WR21 entering the season. The next best was Marvin Mims at 55. How do you square that circle of a quarterback who runs but isn't a Lamar Jackson kind of rusher, and yet have only one wide receiver in the top 50? And sure enough, if you look at how they're doing, you've got Courtland Sutton as the wide receiver 31, Troy Franklin as the wide receiver 38, and Mims as the wide receiver 63. There was a bargain there, and it happened to be Franklin, who was completely off the radar this summer. You could look at it a different way and say Kyler Murray, who was the QB9, right behind Bo Nix this summer. And you could look at that and say, oh, QB9, that must mean that he has some good talent. Well, yeah, Trey McBride, fantastic. That's going to make a big difference. But he had only one reliable wide receiver. Marvin Harrison, who was ranked just inside the top 20. He didn't have any other wide receivers ranked inside the top 80. So the question becomes, if Kyler Murray's ADP is 9, and he has two reliable receivers in Marvin Harrison, seemingly reliable, and Trey McBride, very reliable, sure, you could add up James Conner in the backfield and Trey Benson and say he's dumping off and getting a few hundred yards and maybe a couple extra scores that way. But all things being equal, something didn't add up with those ADPs. Either Kyler Murray was way overvalued, or we were missing someone like a Michael Wilson or a Zay Jones who could rise to the occasion and be maybe a top 50 wide receiver. As it turned out, Murray was overvalued. We can see this summer after summer after summer. And so the lesson from Matthew Stafford is the logic was sound, but I completely messed up the conclusion. And the conclusion was, in this case, Stafford was undervalued, not Nacua and Adams being overvalued. Going into next summer, I might bring this up again. There's going to be quarterbacks that have very, very good ADPs, but the market does not view that quarterback's receivers with the respect that is deserved for a quarterback at that level. And inversely, there's going to be some quarterbacks who are completely off the radar, but they have a couple of very good receivers. And we should consider strongly, are those receivers overvalued? Or the mistake I made this summer is the undrafted quarterback actually due for a big season? I'm BJ Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners. Follow me on the blog, email me anytime. See you tomorrow.